Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
I want to read something out of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 says, and the Lord God said unto Abraham, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I just have a few little points here before we make our declarations. But I would like for you to put a little fire in yourself and just look at somebody and tell them, I have to be great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know if they believed you. Find somebody that knows how to believe you and tell them, I have to be great. I have to be great. I have to be great. Be seated, be seated. I have to be great. Yes, I have to be great. Tell somebody again, I have to be great. Say it over yourself, I have to be great. Progress is built into the human nature. Not just psychologically, though it is psychological, but it is divinely implanted in us from God that we want to do better all the time. It's human nature to want to do better, to make progress. The things that we see as the trajectory of history shows us that if somebody learns how to ride a horse, somebody wants to do better and build a buggy to go behind it. And somebody said, I can do better, and they build a car to go behind it. Somebody said, I can do better, I build an airplane and fly over top of you. We want to do better. But even as people, we don't want to just be stuck, and we want to do better than where we came into the world with. We want to be better. We want to do better. It's built in us. But the problem is that sometimes religious training teaches us that we're not allowed to say, I have to be great. Greatness is sometimes equated with pride, to be able to say, I want to be great. But the truth is, God put it in me. God is a great God and greatly to be praised. He said to Abraham, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you great. Somebody say, I have to be great. 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 Average is everywhere. Average attracts no attention. Greatness attracts attention. And when God puts something in us, something in me said, I have to be great. It's not an option for me to do what God called me to do. I have to be great. I have to be great. Y'all are quiet because you've been taught that you're not allowed to say that. But God put it in you to say, and God told Abraham, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you great. You can't change the trajectory of your family unless you're great. You can't change generational bondage if you're not great. You can't make an impact if you're not great. I have to be great. I have to be great. Somebody shouted, I have to be great. Greatness attracts attention. I was watching, you know, these channels on YouTube, you know, where they show like human beings that can do all kind of incredible things. You know, breathe underwater, glow in the dark. I don't know. They can do all kind of stuff, you know. And they had this little kid on there that had Rubik's Cubes. I have never been able to solve a Rubik's Cube. I don't have those kind of skills, right? This little kid's about 8 years old. He got a Rubik's Cube in this hand, a Rubik's Cube in that hand, and they hit the timer, and he does like this. And he solves both of them in 8 seconds. It's got like 20 million views. My last message has 3 views that I preached, so three views. But when I saw him do that, I thought, like, I need to learn how to do that with a Bible. I'm just going to get through the Bible like this. I got to be great. I have to be. Somebody said, I have to be great. The thing about greatness is God said, I'm going to make you great. You have to become comfortable with being able to say to yourself, I have to be great. I have to be great. God didn't bring me here to be average. God didn't bring me here to be low down. He brought me here to make me the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. Victorious and not defeated. Winning and not losing. God brought me here to be great. And if you're going to be a great dad, you got to, come on, dad, you got to be great. Come on, mom, you got to be great. Whatever you do, you should do it with all of your might and do it. You're not in competition with anybody but yourself. I'm not talking about trying to be better than somebody else. I'm talking about saying what God has given me, I'm going to throw my best at it, and I'm going to be great at whatever God has given me to do. 2025 is your year to declare over yourself, I have to be great. I have to be great. I have to be great to such a degree that I can handle criticism. Because we live in a world by which people build their entire living off of tearing down great people. People that have built nothing, people who have done nothing, people who ain't got nothing but a cell phone that build YouTube channels off of finding great people and criticizing. It was a couple years ago that God gave me a word to disconnect from professional critics. Some people's only thing is they know how to criticize everybody that's doing something and tearing down anybody that's trying to do something. They used to tell us when we were kids, if you ain't got something good to say, don't say nothing at all. But if you're going to be great, you have to understand that some people are going to misunderstand you. If you're going to be great, some people are going to criticize you. But my desire to fulfill what God has called me to do to the level of greatness is so big on the inside of me that I ain't got time to listen to your criticism. I don't have time to listen to your gossip. I'm not living on your like. I'm not living on your amen. I'm living because God said, I will make you great. Everybody clap your hands one time. Come on. Come on. Somebody shouted, I have to be great. I have to be great. I have to be great. Can't do what God called me to do if I'm not great. You can't accomplish what God wants you to accomplish unless you become comfortable with saying, I have to be great. Matthew chapter 20 tells us a story about the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And I think they kind of pulled their mom into it because I think they're the ones that told her, I need you to go to Jesus. And she told Jesus, she said, you know, when you come into your kingdom, I want my boys to be great. I want one on your right hand and one on the left hand. And Jesus began to tell them, if you're going to be the greatest, you have to become the servant of all. But he never criticized their desire to be great. This is why I wanted to kind of begin there. I'm going to push on this little thing today because that's what I do. Y'all know I do that. I'm pushing on this little thing because there's a thing sometimes that comes into the religious community that keeps us from arriving at the places God wants us to, because to say in front of church people, I have to be great, somehow brings a backhanded kind of a thing because we're taught to be humble. But no, greatness is it doesn't mean you can't be humble and great at the same time. The humility comes from the fact that Abraham knows, I didn't make myself great. It was God who made me great. And when you understand that whatever you do and whatever you have and whatever accomplishments may come into your life, that it was God who did it. It was God. If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you wouldn't be sitting in this church on the first Sunday of 2025 because statistics were against you. Some of your friends didn't make it. People that you know fell apart and lost their mind. But here you are, not because of what you have done, but because God has done it for you. How many know I'm right about it? I said, how many know I'm right about it? And I think that when we rob each other of the power to say that, we do the emerging generation and our young people and our teenagers and our everything from preschool to primary school, I think we do them a disservice because somehow we promote mediocrity. We promote don't do too much. But the young people should be raised up in an environment where you tell them you're supposed to be great. God will make you great. God said, I'm going to make you great. We have to build an environment by which they grow up saying, I'm going to do the best. I'm going to do the best. I got another thing to add on there. I have to be great. I have to be rich. You ain't got to take that. You ain't got to take it. Just tell somebody you don't want it. I'm taking yours. Just go ahead and tell them. I'm just taking yours. I have to be rich. I use that word purposely. You know, I know words. So I started to use more parochial terms so you could say amen. Because if I told you to say, I have to prosper, then you'd be all amen. If I said to you, you know, say, I have to be blessed, you'd be like, amen. But I chose that word because I wanted to hit in a certain way. Because being broke is not an option for me. You be broke if you want to. It don't take nothing to be broke. I have to be rich. I know. I see. I'm pushing on the religious button because you know, you're always trying to get money. You're buying lotto tickets. You're asking Jesus. You're pouring oil on your lottery tickets, asking Jesus to give you some money. Then you come to church and somebody says, "I have to be rich." And you're like, I'm buying it. But I have to be. I have to be. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you great and I'm going to make you rich. You don't believe me? Genesis, let's go to the next chapter. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 2. And Abraham was... No. Abraham wasn't rich. Now that's what... See, that's something right there. He wasn't rich. He was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He had three sources of income. No. This is one of the things I love about Abraham. Without a prototype, without a teacher, without a life coach, without a counselor, without a seminar, without a prophet, without an example, he just got up. He just got up and God said, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you great and I'm going to make you rich. And if you read the Bible, you find out if you engaged Abraham in conflict, he was leaving with your gold. You learn quickly to leave Abraham alone. Because when he got done with you, he's leaving with your gold. I'm not talking about materialism, you know, those kind of things. I'm not talking about greed. I'm not talking about vulgarity of overspending. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you can't do what God has called you to do and be poor. You can't keep trading your future for debt. I have to be rich. It takes money to go to Zimbabwe. It takes money to put on a conference in Mexico. It takes money to feed hungry people. It takes money to clothe the naked. It takes money to do something. Everything around here, I can't do what God called me to do unless I become comfortable with the fact that I have to be rich. How many will take that word right there? Somebody just say, I have to be rich. I don't want to wear you out with the scriptures, but you see, if you just track it out, how many rich people wrote the Bible? David wrote the Psalms. He was rich. Solomon, his son, was richer. Abraham was very rich. It's not written by a bunch of broke people. You have to become comfortable with the fact that God, who is rich in mercy, everything God has, he has too much of. God is not a God of lack. He's an El Shaddai. More than enough. Everything God made, he made too much of. The Bible said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. There is, you can't receive something from God unless you become comfortable with knowing you're supposed to have it. It's hard to get healed if you think God's making you sick. It's hard to be rich if you think God wants you to be poor. It's hard to be happy if you think God takes joy out of making you sad. And so you have to become comfortable with the fact that to do what God has called you to do, whatever measure that might be. I'm using the word as rich in the context of understanding that it means that you have enough to meet your needs and do what God has called you to do. And when you become comfortable with that, it's easier to believe for it. It's easier to receive for it. It's easier to believe that it's coming into your life. But when you believe that somehow that's not the plan or the will of God for your life, then it's hard to receive. Next one. I have to be great. I have to be rich. I have to have influence. I have to have influence. There's something about understanding that if God gives you something, that you just can't be quiet about it. I have to have influence. I have to be. No man lights a candle and puts a bushel over top of it. But if you take the bushel off, it gives light to all that are in the house. For me to do what God called me to do, I had to learn a long time ago, I have to have influence. I can't be a part of the religious crowd that celebrates smallness. The mentality that says anything is big is wrong and everything small is right. You can't move a city with five people. You got to have some influence. You have to become comfortable with understanding that when God gives you something, that your influence is necessary because what you do affects other people. I have to have influence. I have to be able to choose my words in a way to change the minds of non-believers. I have to be able to penetrate the hearts of people. I can't afford to be, I have to have influence. I have to have influence. You can't move anything if you don't have influence. Whatever space that the people of God abdicate and back out of, the enemy fills that vacuum. This is the first generation that actually has used influence as a title. People who are influencers. And when the church forgets that we're supposed to have influence, we're supposed to be discipling nations. We are the teachers and the world is the student. When we back out of that space, then other people influence your kids. Social media influences your kids. Somebody else influences our cities. Something else influences our cultures. Because the church has been taught to go to church on Sunday and for the rest of the week sit still and be quiet. But I had to let the devil know I came to make some noise. I came to stand up. I can't afford to be quiet. I can't afford to be silent. I can't afford to sit down. I came here to have some influence. Somebody say, I have to be great. Say, I have to be rich. Say, I have to have influence. Let me give you one more. I have to have faith. I have to have faith. I love it about Abraham. He said he left not knowing where he was going, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham is referred to as the father of faith because he picked up and went on and did what he had to do. And God gave him influence. God gave him power. God gave him things that he never learned. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you great. It's an amazing thing about the influence and richness and faith and greatness of Abraham, because he's not a man with military training. He's not a man that went to school to learn how to manage gold. He had leadership classes on how to handle a staff. He wasn't a herdsman. His father was alive at the destruction of the Tower of Babel. And that's why God told Abraham to go on. Get up out of there. Because at Babel, they said, we will make our name great. We will reach that. God said, no, this way, this works by faith. Abraham, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make your kids great. I'm going to bless the whole family. You're going to be a blessing. And by the way, whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless them. Whoever curses you, I'm going to curse them. Did y'all read that in the Bible? Abraham, with no military training, gets into it with Lot. I'm almost done now. Then we're going to make some declarations. Y'all ready? Abraham's nephew, Lot, goes with him. And Lot starts misunderstanding the facts that what he has is not a result of God's word to Lot. What Lot has is the result of God's word to Abraham. And Lot got too big for himself, you know. And so Abraham said, fine, you choose where you want to go. I'll go the other way. And Lot says, well, I'm going to choose the well-watered plains, which is Sodom and Gomorrah. Bad choice. And he left Abraham with rocks and sand and the desert. Huh. But God had a blessing on Abraham. And God caused water to come up in the desert. And God took care of him. There comes a battle, not to trouble you with Bible history, but there comes a battle of five kings that go in, the king of Sodom, the kings of Gomorrah, three other kings, they come in. And they capture Lot, and they take Lot, all of his stuff, and hold him captive. Now, if I'm Abraham, I'm like, how you like me now? Kind of a thing. But Abraham, maybe this is why God loved Abraham. Abraham said, I'm going to go rescue Lot. A man with no army. A man with no military training. The Bible said he took 318 men trained in his own house. How do you take 318 men to go after five kings who are in warfare? And Abraham, the Bible said, rescued Lot, all his stuff, and defeated all five kings. Because when God is with you, I said, when God is with you. I know you think I'm preaching this Bible part over here about something in history. What I'm trying to tell you is whatever you faced in 2024, don't let it take you down in 2025. Because the same God that brought you this far is the same God that is able to make you have the victory. Because God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to give you influence. Just walk it out by faith. I'll give you one more verse, because I was doing Genesis 12 and 13, so let's do Genesis 14. Because after this battle of the five kings, it goes like this. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He was king and priest. Watch this now. And he blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered all of your enemies into your hand." And Abraham, is what this means, gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Watch me now. Watch me. Watch me. Melchizedek, king of Salem, peace, king of peace, priest of the Most High God. Abraham sows his tithe to Melchizedek, and he receives what he sows into. You grow into what you sow into. Abraham never fights another battle the rest of his life when he tithed into the King of Peace. He received the blessing of peace. And he was blessed. But here's what I wanted to show you. Let's go on in the same chapter. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, watch this, give me your persons and keep all of your goods. 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, watch this now, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. I love this right here. I will not take a thread from your shoe. I will not take anything that is in your hand, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. After your victories, you're going to always meet two people. You're going to meet Melchizedek and the king of Sodom. That's Jesus and the devil. And somewhere in your life, you have to hold up your hand and say, I'm not taking anything. I'm not going to let the devil make me a crook. I'm not going to let the devil make me dishonest. I'm not going to let the devil make me underhanded. Lest the devil will say, I made you rich. I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord because God has blessed me and made me great. Somebody clap your hands one time. We get ready to declare something. Woo. Come on, let's hear a big shout in this place. Somebody say, I have to be great. Somebody say, I have to be rich. Somebody say, I have to have influence. Somebody say, I have to have faith. Now, here's how these declarations are going to go. And now I don't know whether I need to find somebody on the social media team or whatever and release them on the website, or else I'll put them on my social media or whatever. They'll be on the website. Because I want to give you these 10 declarations. And here's how declarations work for me, okay? And you guys just kind of hang with me right there. Just give me that pad right there. Because what I want to do is I'm going to release a declaration. If it's for you, then you're supposed to have some kind of response. Right? This is how prophetic things work. You have to do something with it. You can't just go like, right? You got to have something. And I'm going to release them. And if it's for you, then you jump up and make some noise. And then we're going to pray it through, and it ain't going to take us very long. We're just going to go through 10 of them very quickly. And then I'm going to let you go home. Back out in the cold. I might hang out here all day because it's warm in here. It was freezing. I told somebody, I said, you know, Kathy and I go to Florida usually in February. And I told him, I said, let me tell you part of the reason I do that is because I feel like from about January until March, I'm mad every day. You know, like when it gets cold enough that you're just mad all the time, you go outside to get in your car and you're like, then you get out your car to go into a store, you're like, I can't. I'm like, I'm mad every day, all day, because it's too cold. So, anyway, then I'm going to let you go back out into the cold. I'm going to release it 10 at a time. And these might be something you might want to put up on a mirror, on your phone, or whatever, because I believe that there's power in declaration. God created the world to be word activated. You can't just pray to the mountain. You got to say to the mountain. Jesus said, you shall have. He didn't say you have whatever you pray. He said you have whatsoever you say. When you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall have whatsoever you say. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. There's a power in it. If the enemy can keep you inactive and passive and being a spectator on life, you're going to miss half of what God has for you. Everybody by faith has to do something. If you got a rock, throw it at a giant. If you got a shovel, dig a ditch in a valley. If you got a red rope, tie it in a window. If you got a bed, pick it up and walk. But you got to do something. All right, here's number one. Number one declaration. May every prolonged battle in your life come to an end. May every prolonged battle in your life come to an end. And I declare over you that the purpose of the enemy is to wear you down so he can knock you out. The purpose of battles is to come to a place of victory. You can't stay in a battle forever. At some point, you got to win that battle. And there's some things that tried to wear you out in 2024, but I declare over you that every prolonged battle in your life, may it come to an end. I want you just to open up your mouth and praise that through just for a minute. Declaration number two. May every evil against you backfire. May every evil agenda backfire. May it boomerang. May it turn around. May it reverse its course. May it turn back on those who released it against you. May every evil agenda over your life backfire in the name of Jesus. This is your place to praise that through right here. I declare every evil agenda to backfire in the name of Jesus. Declaration number three, may every false friend, an impersonator, an imposter be exposed. Fake friends, false friends, Judases, backstabbers, underhanded, grinning in your face and stabbing you in your back. May they be uncovered in the name of Jesus. May they be exposed, impersonators. May they be exposed, imposters. May they be exposed, false friends, fake friends. May they be exposed. May they be uncovered in the name of Jesus. Everybody take a minute right here. Come on. Number four, may you break forth on every side. May you break forth on the left. May you break forth on the right. May you break forth north, south, east, and west. May God enlarge your territory. May you break forth on your job. May you break forth in your relationship. May you break forth in your money. May you break forth in your mind. May you break forth on every side, on every side, on every side, on every side, on every side. Tell somebody I'm breaking forth. Tell somebody I'm breaking forth. Tell somebody I'm breaking forth. Woo. Next one. May the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Now, I said, may the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. May the wickedness of the wicked come to an end Now we bind up every wickedness. We bind up powers in high places. We bind up witchcraft. We bind up soothsayers. We bind up demonic oppression. We bind it up and declare, may the wickedness of the wicked, may it come to an end. Everybody shout now. Come on, shout now. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about the end of the year. May the wickedness of the wicked come to an end now. Next one. May you receive blessings in your bloodline. May you receive blessings in your bloodline. Woo. Woo. May God bless your children. Woo. May He bless your children's children. And the battles that you fought, the battles, the things that you labored with, the things that were hard for you, maybe may it be easy for them. May God make His face shine upon them. May God open doors for them that no man can shut. May there be blessings in your bloodline. May your children rise up and call you blessed. May your children's children, and to 1,000 generations, may your bloodline be known that these people are great. These people are rich. These people have influence. These people have faith. I know you had to go through counseling and therapy and deliverance and demons cast out of you and fasting and prayers just to get to where you are. But I declare over you, you put a blessing in your bloodline, and your children will be blessed, and your children's children will be blessed, and your name will be great. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to bless your children. I'm going to bless your children's children. I'm going to bless everything attached to you because He is great. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes. May His favor be upon you to 1,000 generations, and your children, and your children, and their children, and their children. Generations. Woo. Okay, all right. May God establish your children and your children's children. I worded it differently. Notice, you put a blessing in your bloodline. But God says, I will establish them. No, no. Established is different than blessed. May God establish your children and your children's children. Established means that they're stable, confident, upright. May God break this mental health issue amongst our children. And I declare God will establish them and make them stable. Make them stable. Not hot one day and cold the next day. Not up one day and down the next day. Not winning one day, losing the next day. Not up and down, in and out, and wishy-washy all over the mat. May God establish them to be strong, to be stable, to be upright, to be... Come on, play that guitar. Play that guitar. Something's breaking right here. Play. Come on, come on. Break, 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 break. Break it. Yes, yes, come on, come on, come on. Oh, yeah, Baha. Watch this. I just felt not to move off of there quite yet. Children who are struggling with drug issues. Children and children's children who are struggling with emotional issues. It is an outlaw spirit. When God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, he said, I'm going to bless everything connected to you. Your children will be blessed. Your children's children will be blessed. By the time it's over, God said, the whole world, is all the families of the earth are going to be blessed because of what I do for you. Reach out and just touch somebody, if you will. Touch them right there, because we're going to come into agreement. We're going to come into agreement for your friends, for your children, for your children's children, that these emotional issues, in just one moment, we're going to shout break together, because I believe there's power in a voice. And we're going to shout break, break, break until it breaks. The spirit of pharmakei, the spirit of sorcery. These young people, your children and your children's children, that are getting involved in a cult and being lured in to witchcraft and all kind of strange mystical beliefs that are producing psychological problems. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I want somebody filled with the Holy Ghost to start shouting, break, 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 break. Come on, play that thing. Break! Somebody clap your hands and give God praise. Woo! Break, 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 break. All right. Woo. What number are we on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Couple more. Number 8. May the heavens be opened over you. When I declare this, I like to do like this. I don't know why. I just say, may the heavens be opened over me. Do that over somebody else's head and make some people nervous. Is it? May the heavens. Yeah, that's good right there. May the heavens. May the heavens. Woo! Would you get up in the morning and you don't know what to pray? Say, may the heavens be opened over me. May the heavens be opened over me. May the heavens be open. May the heavens be opened over me. Number 9, I think. May doors open in front of you. That's how I like to do it. May the heavens be opened over me and doors be opened in front of me. May the heavens be opened over me and doors open in front of me. I got to do it again because I'm feeling it. May the heavens be opened over me. Doors open in front of me. I got to do it one more time. May the heavens be opened over me. And doors open in front of me. I got to do it one more time. May the heavens be open over me. And doors be open in front of me. I got one more. May the devil get behind you. Heaven's open over me. Doors open in front of me. And the devil get behind me. Come on, do it. Heaven's open over me. Doors in front of me. May the devil get behind me. Here comes my last little parting, and we're gonna do the chorus of Alpha and Omega if you guys want to join, or Clinton if you want to come. But here's the last part of this word. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You guys know this, to be tempted of the devil. He was there for 40 days and he was hungry. And when it was over, during that time, the devil came to him, and you know the story. And the Bible says that the angels ministered to Jesus. He was fed amongst the beasts. And the Bible says, and Satan departed from him for a season. May you come into a season where the devil is behind you. Where the heavens are opened over you. Doors open in front of you. The devil is behind you. May every prolonged battle come to an end. May every evil agenda against you backfire. May every false friend and impersonator be exposed. May you break forth on every side. May the wickedness of the wicked come to an end now. May you receive blessing in your bloodlines. May God establish your children and your children's children. May the heavens be opened over you. May doors open in front of you. And may the devil get behind you. In the name that is above every name. In the name that is above every name. I need somebody to clap and make a little noise right here, right now, in 2025. It's going to be something. Come on, just take a minute. You ain't got nothing else to do right here, right now, except for to give God praise for His goodness.